You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. It is the team news, the most important stream of the week. I'm joined by Mr. Team News himself. It's Neil Rigg. You've been pretty busy, right? There's a lot of team news going on at the moment with these international breaks.
There is, yeah. And some of what you don't know, what I believe, some of it we don't know. We still don't know some players, whether they're going to be available or not. We have got a lot of flags cleared up this weekend, one way or the other. Some of them have turned red, some of them have come off. I'm about to tell you exactly which ones are which.
Yeah, we're getting a nice mix of like really clear, concise information. This player's out, this player's back, blah, blah, blah. And then all the usual, oh, we've got a few knocks and niggles, but we don't really want to tell you who they are. So yeah, we're going to cover all of that. We're going to go through all the games and all the team news that we've got so far. So let's get straight into it. We're going to start, we're going to go through them fixture by fixture. So let's start with Liverpool v Watford. What's the news coming out of the Liverpool camp?
The big one, the big sort of news is concerning Alexander-Arnold and Jota, both of whom are fit. We didn't think that was going to be the case, certainly for Jota. We knew Alexander-Arnold would be nearer there or thereabouts based on the previous prognosis, so he's fine. Jota had pulled out of Portugal's squad on, I think it was Monday, with muscle tightness. He hadn't featured at all for his country. But he was swiftly back in training with Liverpool, and then Klopp said this morning that he's going to be fine. So provided there's no recurrence, of course. So those two are fit. It's less welcome news elsewhere. Curtis Jones is out. Thiago as well, it looks like. And of course, Harvey Elliott. So that's three men down in the centre of midfield. They're going to be without Alisson and Fabinho as well. Two Brazilians. They're going to go straight to Madrid for the Champions League game. So they won't be playing. So yeah, obviously change between the sticks. Keller, we would assume, would come in. Down a lot in midfield. So three from four of Keita, Ox, Milner and Henderson, really.
Yeah, it's a bit of bare bones, isn't it? With Jones out as
well. It is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Jones has started the last few, actually, and played very well. And, of course, there is a possibility of Klopp playing all four of his front men to sort of circumvent that. But based on his previous comments about that system leaving them looking very exposed, then I think it's one he turns to when there's no other option, or if they're chasing games, or I think he's quite reluctant to use it. You never know, but I think it'll be permanent three from four. It's not as clear cut as it has been. I think Firmino is obviously rested over the international break. You think he'd be angling for a start. Jota, of course, hasn't had any minutes with Portugal and is now fit. Whereas Salah and Mane have played 180 minutes for Egypt and Senegal respectively. So, if I was having an outside bet, I wonder if Mane would miss out. At the moment, in my team news, I've got Salah, Mane and Firmino as the three.
And Jota benched.
But I'll obviously monitor. We'll be in the early kickoff tomorrow, lunchtime. I suspect we'll get some news, one way or the other, to confirm that. And I'll be online right up until 11 o'clock. Seeing if I can get any leaks. Because there usually is from Liverpool, from a couple of reliable sources. So we hopefully should find out before 11 o'clock. Fingers crossed.
I mean, they're going to have to like push the deadline back another 12 hours, aren't they? Like, if they keep getting games like this. It is Liverpool, isn't it? Liverpool tends to be the one when it's the only kickoff. We still, even though they've pushed the deadline back, we still sometimes get early news. So look out for that if you're wondering, and you're on a wild card, and Jota's 50-50 if he's going to play. It might just give you that little bit of inside information. How about Watford then? I mean, I've got here Josh King has returned to training today and will be assessed. But it's Ranieri's first game, isn't it? So, how's his squad looking?
Yeah, Josh King's a main one. He's back in training. They're going to assess him. Three absentees, Atebo, Sierra and Cabaselli as well. All muscle problems, all out. The guesswork is who Ranieri picks, because obviously when a new manager comes in, he's got his own ideas, not just with system, but personnel as well. Traditionally a 4-4-2 enthusiast, Ranieri, played that at Leicester, played it mostly at Sampdoria, has mixed things up with the wing-back system in the past. I think he did that at Fulham a little bit. But we would think, as a best guess, 4-4-2. Whether that's Saar on the right or whether that's Saar up top, because Saar has played up front before in a two, just last season, actually, under Cisco. So there's a possibility that he could be out of position up top or, of course, on his usual right-hand side.
Yep, very good. OK, moving over to Wolves then, the Midlands derby, Wolves v Aston Villa. We've got Bruno Lage confirming that Trincão is only training at home after testing positive for COVID-19. Interesting. I didn't. When did that news break? Because I missed that completely until today.
Yeah, it was early on in the international break. So I think it was when he landed in Portugal. He tested positive. So he'll be coming up this 10 days, I think. But the fact that he's still training at home as of today suggests he's not going to feature. I think he's 25% or will be on FPL. A change on the right,
you would Traore think. Traore coming back in?
Yeah, it's hard to tell because he was used on the left by Lage originally. And of course, Huang's got a spot now, you'd think, with him and his through the middle. And then it's one of Podence or Traore on the right. Podence has sort of flattered the deceiver a bit since he's come back. And of course, Traore is wasteful, but he's still effective in creating space and creating chances on his day. So my guess is that he would come back in, but it's not a position he has been playing under Lange at the start of the season. I think he has come on that flank a couple of times as a sub. So maybe it's his role again. But that's the only bit of team news I've seen actually from Wolves. If I get any more, I'll bring you speed on Scout later on.
And how about with Aston Villa? Because they had a couple players off with Argentina and Brazil.
Yeah, they have Bailey's definitely out, Leon Bailey, and Bertrand Traore is going to be.
Will he ever be fit?
As well. Yeah, he promised much in that 20 minutes he was on the pitch against Everton, but he's nearing a return. This has come too soon. He hasn't quite satisfied the needs of the medical department according to Smith, and they're aiming for game week 9 as a comeback. So fingers crossed for that. Traore, as I said as well, he's Bertrand Traore. He's a doubt as well. I think the Athletic said he was ruled out. So that's another winger down. Luis and Martinez. Now, elsewhere, as we'll come on to, a lot of the internationals have been ruled out from South America. Not going to play this weekend. We've already mentioned Alisson and Fabinho. Smith's not ruling Martinez or Luis out. In fact, he said they're both going to be in the squad. Whether or not they feature from the start is the next assessment. Martinez, I suspect, will. Because he's done this before. He came back, I think, on the morning of game week 5, was it? When he was previously quarantining in Croatia. And he played.
Yeah.
Whereas we saw Buendia on the bench for that game. So I suspect Martinez starts. Luis, less certain of that. But Smith did say he was a big player for us. And then he wants him available. So if he doesn't play, then they've got Nakamba to come in. They could play Buendia as a more advanced midfielder. Central midfielder.
Did Buendia go to Argentina then?
No, he didn't. He didn't. It was just Martinez and Luis for Brazil. So, by the sounds of it, Martinez is one of the few South Americans who's going to feature this weekend.
Yep. Just before we move on, I just want to congratulate you, Neil, on the FCA, the Football Content Awards. Yesterday, we're getting loads of comments in the chat of people saying well done to Scout. Obviously, editorial won first prize, and that's largely down to you. So, well done.
Thank you.
Top-notch articles, as always. You and Tom. Scout's the best. Come on. We know it.
That's very kind. Thank you very much.
But yeah, thank you everyone in the chat for putting that out. I need to start doing my pro pundit articles again because I can't even claim I was a part of it. I've stopped doing them for the last month or so. And then we win. So that says a lot, doesn't it, about the COVID-19. right, let's move on to Manchester United. And then again, we've got some more internationals, South American players, and some injuries to centre-backs.
Yeah, Varane's definitely out. He's going to be out for a few weeks. Back to the South Americans again. It's Cavani and Fred this time for United. They're both not going to feature. Solskjaer sort of echoing what Klopp said. They're going to target, I think, a return in the Champions League on Wednesday, I believe it is, for United. Rashford's fit. He's available for selection. Solskjaer confirmed that. He's played during the international break in a behind-closed-doors game. Maguire's the other one, yeah. So we know Varane's definitely out, and we're confident Maguire is too, but there was just a little chink of hope offered by Solskjaer right at the end of his press conference when he said that Maguire's trained on the grass today for the first time. I suspect that still leaves him short for the weekend, and he did talk about Lindelof and Bailly getting minutes over the international break for their countries, and that bode well. So I think it looks like those two will be at centre-half, but Maguire's obviously nearing a return, so if he's not available this weekend, then he'll be probably back for the Liverpool game in game week 9. And I think that's it for Man United, apart from Amad Diallo as well, who's not even listed in FPL. He's back on the grass today as well.
Yep. I mean, the flip side of that is Leicester, their opponents, are also ridiculously short at centre-back as well.
Yeah, but there could be one in, one out this week at Leicester, because they've got Evans in contention. He's had not just a foot problem, which is recurrent. It's an illness as well. That's what ruled him out of, I think, the international break with Northern Ireland, and then the game before that with Leicester as well. But he's been on the training ground this weekend. Rogers says he's in the frame for this weekend. They might have lost Vestergaard in the process. He's got a knock, playing for Denmark, I think. So they're going to assess him. I was writing in the team news tab and in my scout squad as well. The reason I picked Ronaldo is, I think one of my first two choices was the fact that Leicester has been abysmal at the back. Vestergaard, and he promised so much when he came in, is just not been at the races.
Soyuncu, I mean, the amount that he's regressed this last season is unbelievable.
I think Rodgers has previously said before that Evans really gets the best out of Soyuncu. Like, he needs that leader alongside him to sort of guide him through games. He's still young and impulsive and a bit reckless. Mm. And he's just, he's been hopeless. But Evans being back is obviously good news for Leicester, not so good news for Man United. They're missing Ndidi as well, of course. Leicester, he's out for a good chunk of period. And longer term ones, of course, are Justin and Fofana.
Two patched up squads. Not in the best of form going into this match. It should be. I reckon there's going to be goals in that game.
Goal fest. Yeah, I think so.
0-0 confirmed.
0-0.
Right, Manchester City. Big news on Ferran Torres. He's out for 2.5 months. Done his foot at a time when lots of people were thinking of getting him back in. I couldn't believe it when I've been seeing him popping up in wildcard teams and stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah.
How about their international lot? Are they back?
Yeah, Torres is the only absentee, I think. Certainly in terms of injuries, again, the South American World Cup qualifiers in play here. So Edison and Jesus won't be involved this weekend against Burnley.
Bit of a theme here, Torres isn't
it? Yeah, exactly. So that, I think the bigger teams with deeper squads are not risking the players who've just come back. Whereas the likes of Villa, you know, who really rely on Martinez, I think they're willing to throw him straight in. So, Edison and Jesus will be out. They'll be, again, coming back in maybe Pep thinks. And Torres, 2.5 months to 3 months was the prognosis. So that'll definitely see him to the end of this calendar year. We'll not see him again until 2022. So that's one false nine down, I guess. Good news for Sterling. Good news for obviously, Foden's played there. Any number of players could play there. De Bruyne has played there before. I think Grealish was playing there, wasn't he? For a bit. And then, and good news for Mahrez this week potentially as well, because Jesus was the right wing back of, sorry, the right wing ringer of choice at City of late. Torres is another possibility there. We haven't seen him much in that position. We haven't seen Bernardo or Sterling much in that position either. So Mahrez, you would think, gets a start this weekend, but you never know with Pep.
Oh, you never know with Mahrez either. He's the worst. Yeah. I think if I was taking a 1 week punt on a City player this week, that would be Mahrez.
Yeah, he's probably going to be in the scout squad. I'll just tell scout picks this week.
Yeah, I think he's a good shout. How about Burnley then? Are they ready to avenge their last 2-5-0 drubbings?
I think they would take a 4-0 at this point, just for some say of improvement from the last four matches. They're down in centre half. Ben Mee, he's out with COVID.
Massive. Oh, God.
That's a big loss. He was out before the international break as well, but this is a different prospect altogether. Playing Norwich and then playing Man City are two very different opponents. So Nathan Collins, who will be deputising, it's a real test of his skill. The back, he'll be alongside Tarkowski. Maxwell Cornet is fit. He went away with Ivory Coast, didn't play, but he's back. Goodmanson, I think Dice said, was settling down. He took a knock with Iceland, came back. They've got doubts over Vidra and Charlie Taylor as well. Both of those picked up knocks over the international break. Touch and go for both of those. And Dice speak, generally that means he doesn't want to risk them. And he even said that we won't chance any kind of re-injury. And they're going to get beat in this game. So why...
They are going to get a beating, aren't they? Can't see any way in which they don't.
No. So they're going to get beat. So why risk your first choice left back and then one of your, you know, one of your first choice front two, which Vidra probably is now, alongside Wood. I think it'll be Dice hoisting the white flag early and just setting for a 2-3-0 and not risking any of his walking wounded.
Oh God. Poor
Bernie. I wouldn't say that to his face.
No, yeah. Definitely not. No. Just whisper it quietly behind his back. Norwich Brighton then. A few knocks for Norwich, but nothing too much. Rashik is still out with his knee injury, but Fark says he thinks everyone else will be okay, if I understand. How about Brighton then? I mean, Brighton, there's some players coming back. We've got Lamptey back. What's the story with them?
Yeah, a lot of players back, including defence as well, which is, I guess, a little bit of a concern for Duffy owners. Not just yet, you think, in the short term, because he's earned his place, I think, for now. It's obviously longer term, you'd be a bit more, you might, concerned. Out definitely are Welbeck and Alzate. They have had surgery over the international break on hamstring and ankle issues, respectively. But everyone, I think, else is back in training. Webster's back in training. Basuma's back in training. And there was one other whose name, Wentworth as well, who's been peripheral, who you wouldn't expect to start. But Webster, of course, is a threat to Duffy, as is Lamptey, not directly, but indirectly, you know, with Veltman being able to play at centre-half. So the options are stacking up for Potter. Duffy's probably fine for now because he's been part of a defence that's played very well this season, and they were absolutely excellent against Arsenal. I mean, absolutely battered them, and should have won. So I don't see him changing much in this game. But going forward, you do worry a little bit about Duffy. You know, a couple of bad games, and you know, Webster was first choice. I mean, for all of last season, wasn't he? And then beginning of this, so you know, he'll eventually get back on that side. You assume. I think can Webster play on both sides? I think he can. I think he's played on the left, has he? Yeah. I'm sure I've seen that in his player profile and scout. So he could take Burns' place, for example, and you know, Duffy can still play on that right. But yeah, obviously competition in the long term. But enjoy your points for now, Duffy, honest, because you're playing Norwich this weekend, and I'm sure you're going to be up.
Sure, he's going to get something from that. Yeah, I think the first choice front three at the moment is Duffy, Webster, and Dunk, even when all fit, and then it's basically Veltman and Lamptey fighting out for the right wing back spot. But like you say, I think a couple of bad performances, a heavy defeat, something like that can cause a bit of a shake-up, and you know, we could see Duffy dropping out, but I think he's all right for now. Potter on Lamptey, it was quite interesting to read his comments. He said he's been training well, he's chomping to get back on the pitch, but he's got to find the right moment for him. The team's been doing well, we need to be careful with him, but at the same time he's been training and he's ready to help us. So it does sound like he is nearing some first team action, right, in the league. Just I don't know how long it's going to be. I imagine it's still going to be a couple of weeks, but it's definitely approaching.
Yeah, I think he was basically pointing to another bench in this weekend in saying that, you know, he's not going to throw him in just now. But I mean, are they still in the League Cup? I can imagine he would be playing in a competition like that if when that restarts. So, I think it'd probably be a couple of game weeks, I think, before he's seriously threatening a start in the league.
Yep. We had a question about Jimenez, by the way. We did mention him in
Wolves. Yes.
Do you reckon he's going to start?
Well, I'll bring it up to speed, Wolves, actually. I did retrospectively find out that Trincao's only sort of freshed out. They've got already Mosquera, Johnny and Neto out long term. Jimenez is the main one. Now, he played a day earlier than the South American lot, so he was in action, I think, early hours of Thursday morning. Previously, Wolves had said this was in game week 7 that they're very confident. In fact, they will get Jimenez back for selection this weekend. Now, he's done this before. He's done this plenty of times before. He's had that Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Saturday turnaround with Wolves, and then he started pretty much almost every game in the past under Nuno. So I'll be, I think, unless I hear otherwise from the Wolves grapevine, he'll be in my predicted 11. Mm. And the fact that they did actually go out the way to put out a tweet a fortnight ago saying they were expecting him back for selection. I'm just taking a word for it now. There's no lingering doubts about his fitness. Better news on him than obviously the South American.
So you're expecting him to play then? That's good news for his owners. Right, big one then. One of the two big ones, I think, is obviously Leeds. Rafinha, so many people have got him. So many people wondering who's going to play. There's people tracking his flight. There's people staying up to the early hours of the morning to watch him. He got two goals, didn't he, for Brazil? Subbed off at 70 minutes. What's Bielsa said about him?
Yeah, well, he said a lot. He said he went on one of his... He's prone to do this. Bielsa, he can either be taciturn and not give you anything, a couple of lines, or he'll go on an absolutely huge rant. and he's sort of set us up for he said loads of stuff without giving us a clear-cut answer, basically, to summarise.
Did he mention evolution? That's what he normally does.
He did mention it elsewhere. I think this was in possibly Bamford, but not with Rafinha. There is no evolution there. He's reached the end of his evolutionary cycle. Mm. But Bielsa gave his presser on Thursday, obviously before Brazil played their final World Cup qualifier, and he said that Rafinha's involvement would be based on a number of factors. How many minutes he plays, how he finishes the game with Brazil, his rest in the coming, 24, 36 hours, and any risk of that fatigue could cause injuries, that would be a factor to consider. So I think I'm going with the benching. I think he may be in the squad, but I think he might be reduced to sort of a second half substitute.
Their squad is so thin, isn't it, that they need
I mean, they've got James and Harrison can play. You know, James can play on either flank, and James did all right against Watford. He's no Rafinha. You know, Rafinha's increasingly looking talismanic for Leeds. Mm. You know, he was influential last season, but he's so much goes through him. My best guess would be second half cameo against Southampton. If he hadn't, the thing is, 71 minutes is a funny number really for Brazil. He's obviously started and played three quarters of the game, but then there's that 20 minutes rest at the end, and it's more the timing of the game. You know, if it had been like Jimenez's time Wednesday night, Thursday morning, then I'd be more confident. But the fact that it was just this morning, you know, finished it at sort of 3 o'clock in the morning. I would be amazed if he does play from the start. If he did, you know, it'd be minute management either way. But my money would be on, if I had to pin me colours to the mast, which is obviously what I do in the team news tab, then I'd say a substitute cameo role.
So he won't be in your predicted lineup for Leeds?
He isn't. I've done it already. He's not in there. Nice. Other team news, by the way, for Leeds, Bamford's still out. Mm. He was, I think, on course for a return around about now. So, and Bielsa, this is Bielsa bingo. He said the evolution would be a day-to-day basis. Ayling's still out. He's halfway through his recovery, so it sounds like he's a long way away. Robin Koch as well, he's still out. But Forshaw and Somerville are available.
Eek. Not great news for Leeds, I don't think, all of that.
No. Good news for Livermore, I think, if you're playing him. Yeah, I know. They're down Bamford. And
absolutely. I know. He's becoming a player, I think, who we're going to stop benching and start playing. Because he's you know, got the assist against Chelsea, won the penalty, and got good fixtures coming up. okay, Chelsea's the other big one then. Chelsea v Brentford. Mm. We had some quite big news from Tuchel. Now, this is your dream, right? When Tuchel actually gives us, you know, proper team news.
Yeah. I love this guy. He's so straightforward with the news. I'm not sure if he's ever mentioned someone as a doubt. He just tells you if they're in or out. Lukaku's in. He's fit. He's recovered from that muscle fatigue, which we all suspected might have been a ruse, because it was a third, fourth place playoff for the Nations League, and no one really cares about that sort of game. So I think he was just given a rest. But Rudiger's out. He's got a back problem. That's a big blow for me and millions of others. Owen Rudiger. He won't feature. Didn't get a time frame on that. The German coach didn't think it was serious. I think he was speaking on Monday, and he was still sort of in the reckoning for a start against North Macedonia at that point, but didn't feature. And he's out tomorrow, so I don't think it's serious unless there's been some sort of scan and that's picked something up. Pulisic is still out, and Thiago isn't going to play either. He was again one of the Brazilians in action this morning. I think he played 90 minutes, and Tuchel just basically said he's not going to feature. We already had our Brentford meeting, he said, and he hasn't been part of that. We didn't hear anything this morning from on regards to Rhys James, who we have seen back in training. He's been on the grass this week, on with Kante as well. Kante had COVID, but he's been training. So we assume that James and Kante are fine. Dangerous to assume, of course, in this game, but we think they're all right. And I think that's it. I think that's it from Chelsea. Yeah, so, Ziyech as well. I knew there was one more. Not probably wouldn't be the threat to start anyway, but he had a headache, according to
usual. And, wow.
Yeah, and he hasn't trained the last few days. Obviously, you know, people get migraines and stuff like that, but he sounds like he's not going to play either.
That's an unusual one, isn't it? I've not heard that.
Yeah, I don't know what a listed as. Like, I don't know what FPL have done, but we've got our own injuries and bans database. I don't know what a list, head injury or illness. I don't know.
I guess illness. I don't really know. It's, tricky one. Oh, yeah. Your job loves to throw up, you know, new things to, you know, to confuse you, doesn't it? how about Brentford? Any news from them?
Yeah, there is one bit of news in terms of outs, and that is Baptiste. Jean Baptiste has got a dislocated shoulder, and he's going to be out. But otherwise, they're looking in good health. So they've got two players back: Jan Elt and Ajer. I don't know how you pronounce that. The big Norwegian guy, centre half. Both of those missed out in game week 7, but are back. And Thomas Frank said yesterday that they're in contention for a recovery this weekend. And I think other than that, it's just the long-term ones like Sorensen and De Silva.
Should be a good game, that. 5:30 tomorrow.
Yeah.
For Chelsea.
I fancy Brentford in that, actually. Maybe not to win, but maybe just to steal a draw. Like
especially
they did
with Rudiger. Liverpool with...
Big loss. Yeah, and Thiago as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be like Christensen, Aspi, and Chalobah, maybe somewhere like that, centre half.
Yep.
There for the team.
Very interesting. Everton are next. Everton, West Ham. Benitez giving us a fairly good update for Benitez, right? For a change?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a bit of an ambiguous one in midweek from when he was speaking to Everton TV, but he's cleared a few things up this afternoon. Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison definitely out, along with Gomez and Delph. Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison progressing and closer, according to Benitez, but still not ready to play this weekend. Dini's fine. Coleman's fine. They've always been back in training as well. And Yerry Mina was over with Colombia. They've got an extra day to recover, so they're playing on Sunday. So he's got probably a better chance of featuring. And Benitez says they're going to assess him as soon as he gets back to the UK and see how he feels.
Very nice. And West Ham, any news from them?
Yes.
The
opposite.
Your favourite
Chelsea team.
Your favourite manager for team news.
Yeah, he's just been so unhelpful with this. As I said before to people, you know, that if I was a manager, I'd probably more like Moyes, because I don't know why I'd give away my team news plans to every other, you know, watching opposition member of staff. But he takes it to the real, you know, extremes with his ambiguity. He says we've probably got one or two injuries, so didn't even say if he's got one or two. Probably have. and if we did have any players missing, he wouldn't tell us anyway. So
cheers,
he ended
David.
That quote by saying, yeah, we might have some people who are not available. So we don't know. It's Schrodinger's team news. It's just you don't know whether it's whether they have got problems. You can try and draw conclusions from players who've been away. I think they've had 8 players away in international duty. So you can look at that list and then try and work out from minutes played. And
Soufal,
if there was anybody, but
someone who might be out.
Sorry?
Soufal strikes me as one of them.
Well, yeah, he withdrew from the Czech Republic squad. He's the only, in terms of names, him and Fredericks were the only ones we knew about. Those injuries sort of preceded the international break. Soufal came back in game week 7. He had a problem, but then pulled out of the Czech Republic squad with the same issue. And Fredericks has got a groin issue. So we don't know who these names are. Maybe ex-West Ham employee can help us out. On Twitter, I'll be flocking to his account and seeing if he can give us any insight on that. or see if there's any training ground photos. But yeah, Moyes, what a rotter.
I think one guy we do know who should start is Antonio, though, because I think Moyes was bigging up his rest and saying that
he should
yeah. he needed it and the logistics weren't right and all this. So
yeah.
We don't think
that's
Antonio
right. Yeah,
is one of the doubts.
Yeah, he withdrew from the Jamaica squad, but it wasn't injury related. It was It was more to do with the sort of travelling restrictions and things like that. He cited that as a reason for not going. So yeah, he's fully rested for the last 2 weeks.
Yep. Over to the richest club on the planet, your team. Unbelievable. What a turnaround this international break has been for Newcastle. Steve Bruce still there. What's he said in his press conference?
He is. I think he's reveling in the fact that he's still there as well. He's quite a bitter man. I can understand why, because he's got criticism come from every quarters, you know, fans and media. And I think he was enjoying the fact that many of the journalists present had written him off as sacked. And there he is taking charge of his 1,000th game in club football tomorrow.
Big win against Spurs. He might keep his job.
Yeah. I don't know what to wish for now. It'll be interesting actually for Spurs, because this looked like a really good fixture for Tottenham, and I still think it is. But Newcastle not only buoyed by the takeover, buoyed by a lot of returning players as well. So the only absentees are Dummett and Dubravka, who are sort of they haven't been featuring for a while anyway. But many of the first teamers are back. So Callum Wilson's back, Jamal Lascelles is back, Jojo Shelvey's back as well. Freddie Woodman, who's obviously backup goalkeeper now. And Joe Willock is shrugged off a hip problem. So we've got a lot of the big guns back. I'm not sure it'll make much of a difference to our defence, because Lascelles isn't particularly a massive improvement on what we've had. They're all much of a muchness, our centre-half, so they're not great. But going forward, I mean, that's, you know, having Wilson back and having Willock fit as not well as he's done so far this season. Willock, he's not been his usual levels, but Shelvey's a big sort of influence on how we play. He dictates... play from deep as well, so I think it'll be a good game. I can see goals in this. I can see this being a heartening 2-2 or something like that.
Yeah, I can see goals. That's what thinking. The fans are going to be going absolutely crazy, aren't they, with all the news and all the money that's coming in. Yeah, should be. There's some really, really good games this week. I know we've had a painful international break, but there's a lot of games I'm looking forward to. Any news from Spurs?
Yes, a little bit. I'll get to tweet this out, but I've just seen Nuno's headlines from that press conference. He's gone a bit like Moyes, and then he's not telling us who's injured. But he did mention Bergwijn. He's been back in training, and he's working on his match fitness now. I think Ben Davies, he's been back in training as well. He had was it appendicitis or something like that before the international break. But Nuno's been coy, as he often is on the injury situation elsewhere. So we're not entirely sure who's struggling.
Good. Thanks, Nuno. Doing a Moyes challenge again. Yeah. Okay, the final game of the week. I'm going to this one. I'll be at the Emirates on Monday night to watch Arsenal versus Crystal Palace. What have you got for me? Who can I cheer on?
You can cheer on most of Arsenal's side. So Xhaka is the only long-term absentee. He's off for 3 months. Martinelli's a minor doubt, but he wouldn't have featured anywhere in that side, I'm sure. Arteta gave us press comments yesterday. I think he hadn't seen a couple of internationals returning, but the noises were from reports back that everyone was fine. Palace, I think, are okay. I think Vieira said everyone's returned fine. And they've got Ezier back in training as well, which is a boost. He's not ready to feature just yet, but he's been out for a long, long time. And Vieira's not putting an exact time frame on when he'll be playing exactly, but he's back on the grass anyway. He's in training, and hopefully not too long before we see him again playing competitive football, which I think just leaves Nathan Ferguson, the perennially injured Nathan Ferguson, unavailable. Yes, does he exist? He's out, and I don't think anyone else is unavailable. Did I give you the team news for Southampton, by the way? I've got a horrible feeling I didn't.
No, I don't think we did do Southampton, actually. Why haven't I?
Who are they playing?
They're playing Leeds.
They've been Leeds, that's right, yeah. I thought I skipped over him. So Jack Stevens, we already knew, was out. Chi Adams has joined him. He's got a muscle problem. Hasnuttle said everyone else he thinks has come back fine. He still hadn't seen one or two returning internationals. But again, much like Arteta, he thinks everyone's fine. Ward-Prowse is banned, of course. He begins a three-match ban. And Hasnuttle implied heavily that Diallo would come in for him in midfield. But it's an absolute crapshoot further forward. I mean, we know that Armstrong's going to start. We can probably guess most of the back four and the two midfielders in front of him. But like I was right in the team. He was five different players have played in those number 10 roles.
Yeah.
And then there's a sixth now available in the form of Stuart Armstrong as well. So I don't know. I might as well put in names and pins and guess them with that lineup. So but Armstrong, you'd think, would be a shoe in the feature up top because obviously Adams is out.
Southampton and Leeds are going to be two proper patched up sides again, isn't it? It's an international break that's actually ended up with some actual players out and injured and proper doubts. Normally we get to the end of the international break and everyone's like, they're all right. All the flags were just a lie. It doesn't matter. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see a lot of the lineups. I think we will see some quite big omissions from lots of sides. Anything else?
No, that was it. I hope if I've missed anyone out, please mention it now in the comment section. I don't think I am.
The one question we're getting asked is about Reece James. I know you have mentioned him already. I will just ask you, will he be in your starting lineup?
I suspect he will be, yeah. Because as much as anything else is the injury to centre half, which will probably necessitate as Pilicueta playing as the right side of centre half.
Yeah.
Because obviously Thiago and Rudiger out, you'd think it'll be Christensen maybe on the left, Chalobah in the middle, maybe Aspie on the right. Christensen's not really a left-sided centre-half, but Tuchel had previously said that he could play on either side. I think Chilwell's played at centre-half under Tuchel once, but it was like a League Cup game or something like that. I don't think that's going to happen. Which would, of course, leave the right flank free. And yes, Hudson-Odoi can play there. But I suspect with James having a good old breather of 3 weeks and being back in training, I'll be putting him in the predicted lineup, unless I hear otherwise from Chelsea camp.
Excellent. Well, if you've enjoyed this video, if you enjoyed listening to Neil and his team news expertise, make sure you like this video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. We'll be doing these every week on Friday at 3 o'clock, live on YouTube if you're listening to this on the podcast version. But Neil, thank you so much for joining me, as always, and I will see you again next week.
Yep, thank you very much, Charles, and thanks to everyone who was well-wishing there in the comment section about our award, and thank you to everyone who voted as well, because... And without those votes, we would be nowhere. I wouldn't be in a job. So thank
Absolutely.
You very much.
So again, if you like listening to Neil, you can enjoy reading from Neil as well. If you head on to Fantasy Scout, read all his articles, sign up as a member, get some premium articles as well, and all that good stuff too. Award-winning editor, yeah. Neil Rigg. Cheers, Neil. See you soon.
Thanks, Az.